Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott, and I'm just so excited that you're here with me today. We are going to look at a new verse this month. It's our teaching episode where we kind of dive into the context and we really try to figure out what does this verse mean? And therefore, how can we apply it to our lives? Why does it matter to me? But before we can understand that question, we have got to figure out what it means in its context. So that's what we're doing today. We are looking at Colossians 1:17. It is our Dwell Differently memory verse, and it says this: He is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together. This is a verse about Jesus. It is a beautiful verse, and I believe it is a very tangible verse for us as we consider who Jesus is, that He is before all things and that in Him all things hold together. And as I was meditating on this verse and memorizing it, I was reminded of times when I have tried to hold all the things together. Like, we have a saying in our society, keep it together, right? Can you just keep it all together? I'm just trying to hold it all together. Well, this verse says, exhale. Jesus is the one who holds it all together. And as I was considering that, I was thinking about the last time I was in Aldi and I had forgotten a quarter. And I'm like, oh, I really only have five things on my list. It's going to be fine. I'll be fine. So I grab a box and I start putting things in my box. And inevitably, I go to the grocery store with five things on my list, but I end up coming home with like 20. And there I was in the middle of Aldi with, I hadn't even put all the five things in my box yet. And my box was already overflowing with things that I'm passing, thinking, oh, I need that. Oh, shoot, I forgot. I need syrup. Oh, yep, I better grab that. And so by the time I'm at the end of the store, I am like hot and I'm sweaty and this box is overflowing. A couple times things fell out of it and I'm like, oh, people are looking at me. This is my life. This is who I am. And I think it's such a great picture for us of what we try to do as humans. Aren't we so often taking all the things and trying to hold them in our own strength, in our own power, knowing that it's just too much for us. And we end up feeling stressed out and hot and sweaty and like, do people know they could see me? I'm falling apart over here, right? But this verse says, no, Jesus is before all things. Jesus holds all things together. You can give all your things to Jesus because you know what? He is already the one who is holding them all together. So that's my confession. I am so often trying to hold it all together, and that is where this verse is meeting me right now. But as we go through our conversation today, we're going to look at the context of the verse, and we're going to see who Jesus is. And I tell you what, that is going to be the very thing that is going to encourage us that He is trustworthy and capable of carrying all things, not just all the things way out there, but all of your things, all of my things, that we can give Him those things. So I'm super excited to get to have this conversation with you today. And we're going to jump right in to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. I'm going to read you the context of our verse, and then we're going to see what it says about Jesus. And then we're going to look at what our response can be to this Jesus who is before all things and who holds all things together. Starting in verse 15, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. I don't know about you, but I don't have that fully memorized I think this month I'm going to try to memorize all that because it is so beautiful. Jesus is not only the creator, but he is our sustainer. He upholds all things by his mighty power. Not only that, but he is our redeemer. And that is beautiful. So let's go through this a little bit, verse by verse, and tackle some of the things in here. I don't know about you, but there are a couple things that seemed a little hard for me in this. So let's talk about those hard things so we don't get hung up on them. First off, he is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus, the Son, is in every way the visible image of the eternal, immortal, invisible God. He is the exact representation of God, as Hebrews 1:3 tells us. Or as Jesus says himself to his disciples, "Don't you know me? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" They asked to see the Father, Philip specifically, and that's Jesus's response. "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." That is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. It also says he's the firstborn over all creation. And I think sometimes we can get hung up on this. There are some cults, honestly, that would claim that Jesus is a created. It says he's firstborn, right? So he's a created being. But if you read this verse in its context, you see, no, he is before all things. The firstborn man was Adam, not Jesus. So in saying this, that is a title. It's not saying that Jesus was actually born first. It's saying he is the firstborn in the sense that he is the rightful heir, the ruler, the authority. In ancient times, that's who the firstborn was. Paul is using this imagery to help his readers understand that Jesus is the rightful ruler of all creation. So throughout the scriptures, we see younger siblings being called into positions of being the firstborn. In fact, God says about David, who is the eighth brother, the youngest son, he says, "I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth." Did you hear that? He's the firstborn, and therefore he's the most exalted. So this is a position of honor. It's a position of authority. This is the rightful ruler and heir. So that's what firstborn over all creation means. So Jesus is the rightful heir. He's not just the creator and the sustainer, but he is also the rightful heir of all of creation. In verse 16, it says, "For in him," or other translations will say "by him," it might be easier to understand a little bit, "all things were created." All things. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So did you hear that? By him, through him, for him, all things were created. Now we know in Genesis 1:1 that God created the heavens and the earth, right? John 1:1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." So you see that distinction between the Word, who we later find out in John 1 is Jesus, who is both with God and who also is God, through which all things are made. In fact, nothing was made without him. So all things were created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. He is not only the agent and the method of creation, but he is the goal. All things were created for him. That means you and me, all things. Okay, so let's move on to verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, so this is our verse. Jesus is before all things. In other words, he existed before anything existed. He is eternally existent. We know because he is the image of the invisible God. He is God himself, that he has existed forever. He is before all things. Jesus says in John 8:58, "Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." So he's before all things in terms of timing, but also in terms of significance. He is first. He is preeminent. He is most important. Then we move on and we see that he sustains all things by his powerful word. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that. So Jesus is not just the creator, but he is also the one who holds all things together. Like we've already mentioned, Jesus is the one who makes sure that everything keeps spinning, that these planets keep moving in orbit, that the breath in my lungs is going to the places that it needs to go. He is right now giving us everything we need for life. So if we keep reading, we find out in verses 18 through 20 that Jesus is also the Redeemer. So we know that humankind has fallen away from God. We have turned and everyone is doing their own thing, but Jesus has come to make things right. Verse 18 said, and he is the head of the body, the church. In other words, he has full authority over God's people. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus isn't just the firstborn in that first sense where we're talking about he's the firstborn over all creation, but he's also, it says, the firstborn from among the dead, the firstborn of the new creation. Not only is he firstborn in the sense that he's supreme over the new creation, but he's also firstborn in this sense, literally the first resurrected human is Jesus. He rose from the grave, he defeated death, and he has issued in new resurrection life for all who believe in him. So in verse 19, it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So through Jesus, God has reconciled all of creation to himself, things on the earth and things in heaven. Jesus has made peace through his blood. Just as all of creation was made through him, through Jesus, God will also establish the new perfect creation that will usher in forever peace because of his sacrifice on the cross. And his blood pays the penalty for sin. Some of you might be hearing that verse about all things being reconciled to God in verse 20 and wonder like, whoa, that's concerning. What does that mean? Does that mean that all people are saved, even if they don't love Jesus? Does that mean that demons or Satan, who are also created beings, are they going to be reconciled to God? I'll just say this is a very debated verse, but I can tell you this. It does not mean that. For sure. Because as we read on in verses 21 through 23, we see that our salvation is dependent on Jesus and our faith in him. And Paul is encouraging us in response to what we know about Jesus, these beautiful things, to have faith and to have our faith be established and firm. So let me read that to you really quick so you can hear that. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So did you hear that? Our reconciliation with God is the work of Christ, and how we receive it is through faith. And he is encouraging the Colossians to continue in the faith, to be established and firm, and to not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So somehow that verse that is an enigma to us, verse 20, God is pleased to have his fullness dwell in Jesus and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things. Somehow Paul meant something, but it doesn't mean universal salvation. And let's not get too hung up on that, because that's not really why this is all here. What I want to encourage you with is that we have a creator, Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn and the heir of all creation. He is the rightful ruler of all things. By him, all things were created. Through him, all things were created. And for him, all things were created. And he has reconciled any and every person who would believe in him and given us peace with God the Father. This is on offer for us today. It's on offer for you. If you've never believed this message, it's for you. And let me encourage you, if you are that person who struggles to give Jesus the things, if you are under a heavy weight of burden, maybe some of it is joyful. Maybe it's just like a lot of kids in your life or a lot of responsibilities, good things, right? But also hard things, burdens, things that weigh you down. You were not intended to carry those things. You can trust Jesus with those things. He is before all of them. He knows all of them. He has already seen it all. And not only that, but he holds all things together. Your things, my things, all things. And so you can trust him to carry your things. And I would just say, maybe a little help for you as you consider these things would be to go through your list of all things, all the things in your life. This is something I did this morning as I was meditating on this verse. Just write them all out, the good, the bad, the ugly, and tell Jesus, I give this to you. I give this to you, Jesus. I want you to hold this for me. You hold this together. It's not up to me. And I would encourage you, that is a very freeing exercise. One, I think I probably am going to institute as I continue to struggle to give Jesus all of my things. So be encouraged by this verse this month and come join me back here next week. I've got an awesome guest, Jen Oshman. We are going to be talking about this verse and she is going to tell us a lot about how to live it out in a way that is beautiful and that is honoring to Jesus. Thanks for joining me today. Hey, are you loving this month's verse, but you want a little bit more? Let me tell you, every week we write a devotional email and we post it on our blog online at dwelldifferently.com. And you can also sign up with your email there to get it every single Monday in your Monday morning email. Just a little devotional to get your week started off right. So go over to dwelldifferently.com and sign up for our weekly email.